A warm welcome to you all to our latest online service. It's great to be able to worship with you together, apart. But every Sunday I'm reminded that God is not constrained. He can work in and through every situation. And it's great to know, isn't it, that despite us not being able to meet together, God is still speaking to us as a church, as a fellowship. And it's just great to be able to hear from him and thank him for the technology that enables us to do that. If you're watching us for the first time, please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. The information will appear at the end of this session. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for just being with us all again throughout this week, and thank you for drawing us together again today. Lord, open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to what you're going to say to us through this morning's service. Amen. I'm going to show a video now that I saw on Facebook a couple of days ago from CSW. It's a really powerful video and certainly impacted me.
Welcome, everyone. Is Pete here? Jenny?
She did say she was coming.
Well, let's get started and hopefully they'll join us. It's just so good to gather and enjoy fellowship. How's everyone doing?
Yeah. Doing good. Doing okay. But we do miss you all. It's hard not being able to gather together.
Jane, I think you're down to do our first reading.
Yes, today's reading is from Matthew 20, starting...
Jane seems to be having some technical problems. Well, while we wait, does anyone have anything they'd like to share?
I've been thinking it'd be great if we could pray for people who've lost their jobs or people who've been threatened with losing their jobs unless they agree to stop meeting.
And what I would really like to pray for, protection, and for the leaders as well.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sure Pete and Jenny will appreciate your prayers too.
During our prayer time last week, we had some trouble with the neighbours.
Oh, sorry, Chris. Chris, we lost you for a minute there.
Oh, sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's good.
Last week, we had some trouble. There were people banging on the doors and the windows.
Did the police come?
Yeah. Sam was pretty scared when he saw them at the door. Jesse's too young to understand, thankfully.
Are they finding it difficult?
Yeah. It's been tough on them. Sam's been told he can't go back to school. He's really missing his friends. But we're proud of him, you know, for taking a stand.
Perhaps we could pray for those who don't know where their loved ones are and those who've lost their loved ones.
Yeah. So has anyone heard from Matthew? He disappeared on his way home on Monday. Vanished.
It's Jenny. She says Pete's been taken.
What?
We got the text as well.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that in your word, you say that you will never leave nor forsake us. We pray now for
Pete. Hey, who are you? No.
We pray that when our faith is tested, we would stand strong. No, get off. No. Where's my wife? What have you done with my wife?
Graham?
What just happened? Can someone tell me what happened?
Hello? Graham?
Who's going to do this now?
as the video said, that sort of thing isn't happening here in the UK, and let's pray that it won't be happening, it won't happen. But it is happening to our brothers and sisters in the Lord around the world. So please do pray for them and for the work that organisations like CSW and others do to help the persecuted church and to bring these sort of things to our attention and to the attention of various governments that they work with. I'd like to lead us all now into a time of prayer. I'm going to base the prayers on Psalm 121. So I'll read the psalm to you first and then we'll pray together. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches on you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the eternal one who made heaven and earth. So let's join together in prayers of intercession. Lord God, you are indeed our help in times of need. We turn to you now, lifting up the cares and concerns in our lives and in our world, seeking your help. We pray for those who struggle, embroiled in conflict, for nations, for families, for troubled souls, for the countries and places in turmoil or conflict that we know about, for the perpetrators of violence and chaos, and for those who suffer at their hands, for those embittered by memories and those embarrassed by shame, for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted because of you. Strengthen them and bless them, we pray, Lord. We pray for those who long to rely on your promises, but who long hold fast to the faith that you will rescue them, but who feel overwhelmed by the things they cannot control, heavy with worry, drained by grief. We pray for the families of those who have died. Be their constant help. Hold them up in the time of need. We pray for those struggling with ethical dilemmas and challenges, for those facing life-changing decisions, unsure of the path ahead. We pray for our young adults who have moved away to study or work, for those looking for work, for children and youth facing social temptations, facing questions of identity and purpose. We pray for those who face sickness and infirmity. Encircle them with your assuring peace and healing touch. We pray for those who are often voiceless and powerless, that we might be their voices, persistently crying out for justice, speaking truth to power. Help us persevere and not give up, even when the outcome seems set and our efforts seem futile. We pray for our church, for our fellowship and visitors. Align our mission and purpose with yours, dear Lord, and grant us strength to persistently shine your light into the community of Burwell. In this moment of silence, hear the cares and concerns of our hearts. Eternal God, we lift our eyes to you, maker of heaven and earth, for it is in you that we find our help. Bless us and bless those for whom we pray. Amen. The reading today is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 47. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Chris is now going to bring the message to us, so let's just pray before he does. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Chris and for his ministry among us, and we pray now that you will open up our eyes and our hearts and our minds to what you are going to say to us through him. Thank you for the words that you've given him to bring to us. And yeah, Lord, just may we really, really listen to you through him. Amen.
The Bible reveals that each and every person is significant. God loves you and he has a plan for your life. He invites you to receive his forgiveness for the past and the gift of the Holy Spirit to enable you to fulfill his calling for the future. Your life has meaning and purpose. Your decisions matter for this life and for eternity. The decisions that we make about how we live our lives are based on our beliefs about ourselves, about the world and about God. How to believe will be our topic for this morning. We focused in this series on the explanation that the Apostle Peter gave on the day of Pentecost, when more than 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus. Peter invited those who came to recognize Jesus as Lord and Messiah to repent and be baptized, and he promised that they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He declared that this promise was for all that the Lord our God would call, which includes you. The call to repentance and baptism are for you, no matter how old or young. And yes, we can do baptisms even with the current restrictions. And the promise is for you, no matter how old or young. None of us can live the life that God calls us to without the indwelling of his Spirit. We are created to live in relationship with our Heavenly Father. We've unpacked what repentance means and how to repent. We've examined what baptism means and how to be baptized. Last week we explored the gift of the Holy Spirit and how to receive. If this is your first talk that you've listened to, then I urge you to watch the earlier talks in the series too. As a brief reminder of last week, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is not an optional extra, but part of the normal Christian life. Going on being filled with the Holy Spirit is the norm for healthy discipleship. We need this if we're going to continue to love God and to love one another as we're called to do. As I said, today we'll be thinking about how to believe. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, we're told that there are about 120 believers. That is, people who have already recognized Jesus as Messiah and Lord because of his resurrection. At the end of chapter 2, we see all those who've repented, been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit described as believers. Luke wrote the book of Acts in Greek. In Greek, faith and belief are the same root word. Faith is the noun, belief is the verb. Belief then is faith in action. Let me say that again. Belief is faith in action. The believers are those who put their faith into action. To coin a new word, they are faithers. It's important to keep in mind that this belief has a specific focus, and it's more than just acceptance of the truth. It's a belief in Jesus as Messiah and Lord, a complete reliance on Jesus for forgiveness and empowering to fulfill God's purposes. It is this belief which is expressed through repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus. This is a really helpful and shorthand way of describing those who've accepted Peter's message about Jesus and are doing something about it. Belief is not mentioned directly by Peter when asked how to be saved, but it is this trust in Jesus which is expressed by the responses of repentance and baptism. If you continue reading through the book of Acts, which I hope you will, the word believer is used 26 times to describe this growing group of people, those that are following Jesus. In total, there are 58 occurrences of believe, believers, or believed, all in the same sense. When Paul and Silas are asked by the Philippian jailer, "What must I do to be saved?" Luke summarizes their answer as, "Believe in the Lord Jesus." The jailer is clearly repentant, and the response still includes baptism. Belief is the shorthand way of referring to this response of putting faith into action. To believe, then, means to be persuaded of, to place confidence in, to trust. It signifies reliance upon, not merely an awareness of a fact. In this case, a trust in Jesus, both as the only sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins and the only Lord worthy of worship and obedience. The Apostle James wrote, "You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." He said this as part of his argument that so-called faith without deeds is meaningless. Belief is not simply knowing that God exists or the history concerning Jesus, or even giving assent to a statement of faith. Genuine faith leads to actions in line with God's plan revealed in Jesus, summarized as loving God and loving other people. Let's hear some of Jesus' teaching about this kind of belief. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Those who trust in God's grace expressed through Jesus receive eternal life. Those who choose not to put their trust in him are already condemned. A few chapters later, Jesus says, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." He also links belief to the gift of the Holy Spirit. "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Belief in Jesus leads to the gift of the Holy Spirit, which Peter describes in Pentecost and promises to those who repent and are baptized. When a man came to Jesus to seek healing for his son, he asked Jesus to heal the boy if he can. Jesus responded, "If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Part of trusting Jesus is believing that all things are possible for him. Like the man described here, we can put our trust in Jesus to the full extent of our ability and ask for his help to overcome our unbelief. The Gospel writer John comments on the religious people of his day. even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. Belief is ultimately a decision of faith. No amount of proof is sufficient if we refuse to believe. And finally, when Jesus appeared to, after his resurrection, to Thomas, who'd refused to believe the testimony of the other apostles, this is what happened. A week later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was with them. Though the doors and windows were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Thomas moved from unbelief to belief when he met the risen Jesus. How can we move from unbelief to belief? Let's think about how to believe. From these readings, it becomes apparent that belief is a choice based on evidence, and it leads to eternal life and receiving the Holy Spirit. It is focused on Jesus. It's a belief in him, not about him. Belief is trusting in the God revealed in and through Jesus. Belief is trusting in his love, his kindness, long-suffering, that he's all-powerful, that he's for us and not against us, that his ways and not our ways are the way to salvation. We have the testimony of God's creation. We have the evidence of the Bible. We have the evidence of believers today. We're not asked to make a blind leap of faith, but to trust in Jesus as he is revealed through the scriptures. We're not required to believe without evidence, but we are asked to believe what is revealed to us and trust Jesus to help us overcome our unbelief. It's not blind faith, but there comes a point when all belief is a choice. Jesus commands Thomas to stop doubting and believe. Thomas was in no doubt that Jesus existed. He'd been with him for years. Now the same Jesus that Thomas knew to be dead was standing there alive in front of him. Yet he still needed to make the choice to believe, to trust, to rely upon, to place his confidence in Jesus. Thomas demonstrated that he'd done so by worshipping Jesus as Lord and God. So belief is not agreement with certain doctrines or performance of religious duties. Belief which saves means relying on Jesus and his promises, not on our judgment. For some, this reliance begins before they're old enough to recognize any different. But there comes a point for each of us when we need to choose whether we rely on our own intellect and experience or the revelation of Jesus. This may start as a one-off event, but trust is not something which is done once and lasts forever. We need to keep on trusting through thick and thin. It's this settled decision which is expressed through baptism. Jesus spoke about those who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. We must each choose to believe the God of love revealed in and through Jesus and respond in obedience, especially through the times of testing which come. Initially, this will mean repentance, baptism in water, and receiving the Holy Spirit. As we continue to seek to follow the way of love, we will eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Our ongoing battle of faith will require a lifetime of repentance and being filled with the Spirit, then boldly using the gifts that he gives. We can't do this if we're constantly re-evaluating if God is worthy of our obedience and love. We have to decide to believe God's love made evident in the cross of Jesus. We mustn't waver between two opinions or be half-hearted in our commitment. If we live our lives in ways which would work and make sense without God, then we're not relying on God, not trusting in Jesus, not believing in Jesus. No matter what we say we believe, our lives demonstrate what we actually believe. Our life is made up of 1,000 daily choices about our time, money, career, relationships. So what does your life reveal about who you're trusting in? What you truly believe God is like? Think for a moment on the decisions that you've made this last week. If you were put on trial for being a believer in Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict you? So how might we respond? Trust, rely, depend upon Jesus. Let your decisions and actions reflect this dependence. God has demonstrated his love for you. Christ died for you. Whatever life is telling you right now, nothing can take that away. So stop doubting and believe. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and revealed who the Father was. You have come and invited us to put our trust and hope in you. You have promised that you will indeed lead us into an eternal relationship with God, and promise that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us if we trust in you. I pray for those that have been listening today, that they will choose to believe in you for the first time, or to continue trusting in you, seeking you for the empowering of your Spirit to live a life that brings glory and honor to your name. We pray this, Lord, that you might glorify yourself and build your church. Amen.
Thank you, Chris. Now, please do stay online or stay with us after I've finished waffling on. We have an extended time of worship coming, and then after that, I look forward to chatting with those who can make it to our Zoom coffee and chat at 12 o'clock. The link will appear as if by magic on Facebook. So let's just pray with a verse from 2 Thessalonians. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Amen.